Siddhanta Sarasvati Goshami Raj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sipaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srila Sadhi Gaur Bhaktivindi Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kun Radha Kumigiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Navadvip Tham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Ki Jai. Gangamayi Ki Jai. Jamanamayi Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Thank you all very much for coming this evening. We'd like to invite you to check your mobiles, see that they're off or silent. Tasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Madhavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Hayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Shabhadantam Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalan Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shavrajatam Shahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shavadrutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Nalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Stam Hey Krishna Guruna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hori Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kapasindho Pyayelacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Today is the Nrisimha Chaturdashi festival, celebrating the transcendental appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev, who came to this world to protect his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, and slay the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, and to exhibit transcendental pastimes for the welfare of the whole world so that we can be enlivened and attracted and pulled toward our natural position of devotional service. So Prahlad Maharaj, as you know, was a 5-year-old boy who was enlightened by the grace of Narada Muni, even while within the womb of his mother. The mother had taken shelter in the ashram of Narada Muni while her husband was away performing gruesome austerities. And while she was there, Narad Muni was naturally giving instructions about Krishna consciousness. And the child in the womb was hearing and became enlightened in devotional service. After his birth, when he was a young boy, he was sent to the materialistic school to be instructed by materialistic Brahmins in materialistic life. But Prahlad Maharaj wasn't interested in materialistic life or in the diplomacy, politics, friends and enemies, and how to exploit the resources of the material world. He was interested in chanting Hare Krishna and serving Krishna. So he was taking the opportunity whenever the teachers were away to gather his friends together and instruct them or preach to them about the importance of spiritual realization, which he said they should seize upon even at the tender age of 5 years, because this Bhagavad Dharma is the real necessity of human life. The Tadapi Ajivam Artadam, although it's temporary, it can give the greatest benefit, and it's lost very soon, that Prahlad graphically described to his friends, that the human form of life is very short, and so we should urgently take up the business of cultivating Krishna consciousness. Well, this came to the attention of the father, Hiranyakashipu, and the father was so angry that he tried to kill his own son in so many ways. But the boy couldn't be killed, despite so many ways, throwing him off a cliff and having elephants trample over him this way or that way. Still, the boy always was saved. So, and when his father would call him to speak with him, the boy would be very bold and speak directly about Krishna consciousness. What was the best thing that you learned in school? The best thing is that one who's immersed in materialistic life, sadasam udvigna dhyam asadgrad, always grasping for that which has no real existence, and therefore always disturbed in mind. Such a person should get out of the dark well of materialistic householder life, maintained for the sense of, for the sake of sense enjoyment, and go off to the forest and take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One shouldn't remain stuck in the cesspool of sense gratification. One should get out and find where there's Krishna consciousness. That wasn't a very welcome message as far as his father was concerned. And finally the father challenged him that I've tried to kill you in so many ways and you've always escaped me and you always speak so cheekily, so boldly. By whose power? What gives you so much power that you can defy me? Even the demigods are afraid of me. And you're defying me like this. Where do you think you're getting your power? And Prahlad said, the same place that you're getting your power, I'm getting my power. Every living being is getting power only from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No one is independently powerful. So the same place where you're getting your power, I'm getting my power. Then, jayasuram bhavam imam tvamatmana samam mano tatsva nasanti vidvishaha rite jitad atmana utpate stitad tati yanantasya mahat samarmanam. My dear father, please give up your demoniac mentality, asura bhavam. Namam duskrita namuta asuram palamashrita, those who are demonic, refuse to surrender to me. So give up your demonic mentality. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. Make your mind equipoised toward everyone. In the material world, we make these distinctions. He's my competitor, he's my ally, he's my friend, he's my enemy. And we're trying to conquer our enemies, and with the help of our friends, and the friends later become enemies and we try to conquer them. Nationally, internationally, corporately. Dividing the world into friends and enemies. Well, give this up. Be equal toward everyone. Except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there's no enemy within this world. When one sees everyone on the platform of equality, one then comes to the position of worshiping the Lord perfectly. Srila Prabhupada comments, unless one is able to fix the mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, the mind is impossible to control. As Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, chanchalam hi mana krishna pramati balavadritham tasyaham nigraham manye vayuriva sudushkaram. The mind is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and very strong, O Krishna. And to subdue it, it seems to me, is more difficult than controlling the wind. The only bona fide process for controlling the mind is to fix the mind by service to the Lord. We create enemies and friends according to the dictation of the mind. But actually, there are no enemies and friends. Pandita Samadarshana, Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Lapate Pranam. To understand this is the preliminary condition for entering into the kingdom of devotional service. Bandhuratmatmanastasya yenatmaivatmanarjitaha. Natmanastu shatrutve varte tatmaiva shatrutva. The mind can be the best friend, the mind can be the worst enemy. When the mind is controlled, it's the best friend. Uncontrolled, Hare Krishna. Uncontrolled, the worst enemy. And here, the mind can be controlled when engaged in the service of Krishna. Das yun pura shan navijitya lumpato manyanta eke svajita dasho dushan chitatmano gyasya samasya dehinam sadho svamoha prabhava putapare. In former times, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I've conquered all my enemies in all directions. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies and equipoised toward all living entities, for him, there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. The Prabhupada comments. In this material world, everyone thinks that he has conquered his enemies not understanding that his enemies are his uncontrolled mind and five senses, manashastani indriyani, prakritistani karshati. In this material world, everyone has become a servant of the senses. Originally, everyone's a servant of Krishna. But in ignorance, one forgets this. And thus, one is engaged in the service of Maya through lusty desires, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and jealousy. Everyone's actually dependent on the reactions of material laws, but still one thinks himself independent and thinks that he has conquered all directions. In conclusion, one who thinks that he has many enemies is an ignorant man, whereas one who is in Krishna consciousness knows that there are no enemies but those within oneself, the uncontrolled mind and senses. Mujukunda, King Mujukunda, prayed to the Lord that I was king of all directions, I was conquering everyone, I was going out and gaining victory. And then I would come back to the palace and I'd fall at the feet of the queens for sense gratification. Controller of the world, but controlled by my senses. There was a book on American history that came my way a while back. There were two military leaders for the British, as it happened. Speaking of friends and enemies, you were our enemies back then. Now we're friends. But back in those days when you were our enemies, there were two military leaders, General Howe and a Captain Howe, Commander Howe. One was in charge of the land forces that were trying to put down the American Revolution. And the other was in charge of the naval forces, Commander Howe, two brothers. And they ran up against, there was a tragedy in their family, I think their older brother died or something like that. And Commander Howe was quite affected, and he took toward drinking and woman hunting, and became quite, good. He was still running the Navy, doing all right that way, but he became quite dissolute in his personal affairs. And the historian wrote the book, who wrote the book, commented that the commander was not in command of himself. The commander was not in command of himself. This is the position in the material world, that we have some power, whether it's military power, economic power, business, strategic smarts, or personal influence. And somehow we're struggling with the opposing forces in the material world. But the biggest enemy is within. The uncontrolled mind, the uncontrolled senses. Anatmanas tu shatrutve, parte tatmaya shatruvat. We're seeking out terrorists and trying to protect ourselves from terrorists, but the big terrorists are within ourselves. Mm-hmm. Trying to prevent the terrorists from getting inside the country, but they're already inside every one of us. So Prahlad Maharaj instructed his father that this is the actual situation, that nobody's a friend, nobody's an enemy, you've divided the world up. These are our friends, these are our enemies. But this is all imagination. Pandita Samadarshan, a self-realized person sees that there's no friend, there's no enemy, because I'm not the controller or the enjoyer or the owner of anything here. The owner, the enjoyer, the controller is Krishna. And I'm only the servant of Krishna. I'm not independent. I'm thinking that by my power, but by my power, Hiranyakashipu was the most powerful, but he couldn't hold on to anything, although he conquered the three worlds. In a moment, he was finished. And very intelligent, like a scientist, you know, the scientists are figuring out how they're going to do this and how they're going to do that and how we're going to secure this and how we're going to combat that. But finally, every scientist is killed. The scientist and the dog both meet the same end. And Hiranyakashipu met that same end. He was very powerful, and he was thinking in so many ways how to even guard against death. I won't be killed during the day, I won't be killed at night, I won't be killed inside, I won't be killed outside, I won't be killed by any man, I won't be killed by any animal, I won't be killed by any weapon, man-made or God-made. I won't be killed during the day, I won't be killed during the night. In so many ways, he got benedictions from Brahma, extracted benedictions from Brahma, so that he thought that now I've become invincible. I've become invincible. I can do whatever I like. And he was proven wrong by Lord Nrisimhadev. Adbhuta. Lord Nrisimhadev was not within the imagination of Hiranyakashipu. He couldn't have imagined. Hiranyakashipu couldn't have imagined that the Supreme Personality of Godhead would appear in such an unusual form, half lion, half man, and kill him with, not with any weapon, but with his nails. This was inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu. It's inconceivable to him. But Krishna can do anything. He can do marvelous, perform marvelous activities. And so he appeared in this marvelous form. Dalita Hiranyakashipu, just to kill Hiranyakashipu. And more important, to bless his devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. The Prabhupada says the demons actually can be killed by some act of nature. Can be killed by some act of nature. So Krishna doesn't personally need to come, although he enjoys it. We also enjoy some sort of competition, some sort of fighting. Leicester Tigers. Leicester Tigers. There's a competitive tendency. Sports.
So that's,
where does that propensity come from? Janmadyasyataha. It said that the absolute truth is the origin of everything. And that absolute truth is Krishna. So he also has a sporting propensity. He also likes to fight. So for him, to fight with Hiranyakashipu was enjoyment. The demigods were all afraid. But Nrisimhadev was enjoying. He was enjoying. So when he comes, he performs many purposes at once. He destroys the demons. He enjoys his transcendental pastimes. He especially protects his devotees. That's his special reason for coming. Kaunteya pratijanihi nabe bhakta pranashati. A devotee is never vanquished. Prahlad Maharaj was confident of that, and Lord Nrisimhadev protected him. as the pastime elaborates itself, we find that none of the demigods could satisfy the Lord. After the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu, he was roaring very fiercely and just sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne and was roaring and roaring. And the demigods started approaching him one by one to try to calm him down, to pacify him. Brahma offered his prayer, Lord Shiva offered his prayer, Lakshmi Devi, the Lord's wife, offered prayers. All the demigods were trying to satisfy the Lord, but the Lord would not be pacified. He was so angry. This demon has persecuted my devotee. He's so angry. We sometimes get angry. Prabhupada mentions here that among the enemies that we face within ourselves is anger. This anger is originally within Krishna. One devotee one time asked for a hint, some advice, some counsel, how to get free from anger. Apparently this devotee would sometimes felt that he was being overtaken by anger. You know, anger can just like appear. Suddenly anger appears out of almost nowhere. You're peaceful and then you become angry. And it becomes like a powerful force that just, like a hurricane, just takes over. People become out of anger. They kill their husbands, they kill their wives, they beat their children, so many things, crazy things a person will do because krodhat bhavati sammohat, by anger one becomes completely bewildered, forgets what he's doing and loses his intelligence and then he's lost. By these different powerful agents, by lust, by greed, by anger, by illusion, by envy, the conditioned soul is just dragged along. This way a hurricane just picks someone up or a wave picks someone up and throws him. So this devotee inquired from Srila Prabhupada that sometimes I become angry. And it's so difficult to control. What should I do? The Prabhupada advised him that when you become angry, then you just think about Lord Nrisimhadev. Because you're a little angry, but he's absolutely angry. He's unlimitedly angry. He's the origin of everything. Desire is originally present in Krishna. Anger is originally present in Krishna. Everything is originally present in Krishna. So you're angry, but your anger is nothing compared to his anger. He was so angry that even the demigods couldn't pacify him. So when you're sometimes angry, then think of Lord Nrisimhadev. Under all circumstances. When we're angry, when there's anger, when there's lust, when there's greed, when there's envy, then one way or another we should remember the lotus feet of Krishna. And Krishna performs wonderful activities. Someone is attracted, man is attracted to a woman and wants to be with a woman. But Krishna, he had 16,108 wives. We want to be with one, but he's with 16,108. So we have a little desire. I miss my wife. I want to be with my wife. But even if we think that Krishna wants to be with his wife, like an ordinary people think, they think that Krishna's something like a human being like us, they don't understand
that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we think that Krishna, he wants to be with his wife, but he has 16,108 of them. No shortage. But we're a little bit attached to our wife, we're a little bit attracted to our wife. Krishna had 16,000. But actually, he wasn't under the control of any. They're all thinking, now Krishna is under my control. They're all thinking that Krishna has built, the wife is thinking Krishna is so attached to me, he's built this palace for me. He's decked it out with these effulgent jewels. And he's so attached to me. Because I'm beautiful, because I'm serving, or one way or another, they're thinking that Krishna is under my spell. Women have mystic powers. They bring others under their spell. So each wife was thinking that Krishna is under my spell. But there were 16,108. And Prabhupada said that was just to set a record. Otherwise he could have had 16 million. And they were all just exhibitions of his own potency. When Krishna in his form as Narayan was performing meditation, he took the pastime. Krishna sometimes becomes half lion, half man, sometimes a dwarf, sometimes a fish, sometimes a sage. When he took the form of Narayan, he was performing austerities and meditation as a sage. And Indra became anxious. This sage is performing such austerities, such tapasya, that he'll get so much merit that he'll take over my position. He'll surpass me. He'll be in and I'll be out. So then Indra, as he sometimes does, was thinking what to do. So he engaged his society girls, his beautiful apsaras from the heavenly planets. And you go down there where this sage is performing his meditation and agitate his mind so that his meditation will be finished. Someone is meditating, there's so many meditators that are meditating, but just like, who is that? Vishwamitra Muni, he was meditating very seriously thousands and thousands of years, and then he heard some ankle bells tinkling, and that was the end of his meditation. There must be some beautiful woman there, or Menaka, again sent by Indra for the same purpose. The sage's meditation broke, Vishwamitra Muni's meditation broke, and one thing led to another, and he became the father of Shakuntala. So this time, again, Indra sent his crew to distract Narayan from his meditation. But because Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the girls were surrounding him and trying to attract him. And he just manifested some more beautiful girls from his own body. That's it for you girls. Do what you want. I can produce 1,000 more like you from just within my own potency. Prabhupada quoted the proverb, the sweet maker has no attraction to sweetmeats. The kid is in a sweet shop and going mad. But the sweet maker is there all day, so many days a week. It's nothing for him. So Krishna also, it may appear that he's under the control of anger, that he's under the control of lust, that he's attached to so many women. But Krishna is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's simply performing his transcendental pastimes. And what attracts him is devotional service. He's attracted by the devotional attitude of Prahlad Maharaj. by the devotional attitude of the queens of Dwarka, by the devotional attitude of Nanda Yashoda and the cowherd boys, the gopis, the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Bhaktyanam Abhijanati. Krishna is not interested in our material qualifications, whether it's power or beauty or money or fame. What do we have? But the attraction for Krishna is devotional service. So, all glories to the personality of Godhead who comes in so many wonderful forms and performs so many wonderful activities just to revive our natural spirit of service. Hare Krishna. Amen. And?
Some questions.
Questions, okay. We have time for questions. Yes?
Maharaj, when Lord Nrisimhadev gets so angry and obviously completely into the path.
Into
the path that he's playing, into this pastime. Presumably, to some extent, he is getting carried away with his own transcendental pastimes.
Yeah, he's carried away. He's angry, but where he's unlimitedly angry. He's unlimitedly angry. And he becomes absorbed in that mood of anger. He becomes absorbed in that mood of anger. But his anger is transcendental. Our anger is relative. Our anger is material. Our anger is occasioned by illusion. But his anger is absolute. He doesn't get angry because he's frustrated in sense gratification. That's usually, our anger is about that. We're frustrated in sense gratification and then we're angry. What is that angry young men generation of men? We're known like that, angry young men. Even now you get, we get in Britain, certain section of young people who are just angry and they destroy things and they, skinheads and what have you. Yeah, not us. But they're known for being angry. They just, beat someone up for nothing. Why are they angry? Because they're frustrated in sense gratification. We're not getting what we deserve. And we're going to take it out on you or you or you or you. So they're frustrated in sense gratification. Therefore, they're angry. Kamat krodho vijayate. But Krishna's not frustrated in sense gratification. His transcendental senses are unlimitedly satisfied. Even Krishna says, you offer me a little leaf, a little flower, a little water with love and devotion, and I accept that I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. So Krishna's anger is not over some material consideration, but when his devotee is harassed by a demon like Hiranyakashipu, then the Lord becomes angry. It's another manifestation of love. It's another manifestation of love. Out of love for his devotee, he's angry at a demon like Hiranyakashipu. The same anger that would be a disqualification for the materialist, for the Lord, is a glorious quality. Kama krodha tata lobha. Shrividham narakasyedam dvaram nashanam atmanah kama krodha tata lobha tasmade tatrayam chujyate. There are three gates to hell, Krishna says. Lust, anger, and greed, and therefore one should give them up. But for Lord Nrisimhadev, it's not a gate to hell. For Lord Nrisimhadev, it's a glorious characteristic. something else.
Sometimes devotees' anger is celebrated also. Like we find Arjuna and Hanuman, their anger is utilized for the purpose of Krishna. And that anger becomes something very...
That's also transcendental.
Greatly glorious, yes.
That's when Hanuman burned up a Lanka out of anger. There was one time there was some program in India, Pandal program, and the devotees, foreign devotees, were there, and there was kirtan going on, and Prabhupada was there. And one of the men in the audience, I don't know what he was thinking, but he began, you know, like clutching at the sari of one of the girls, one of the devotee girls. He'd been watching too many Bollywood movies or something. And Prabhupada picked up his kartals, like Siddharshan Chakra. You know, who do you think you are? Prabhupada was angry. Who is this rascal? Prabhupada was angry a lot, actually. You really get these people. A sadhu should never get angry. A sadhu should always be peaceful. But when Krishna was blasphemed, when there was opposition to devotional service to Krishna, Prabhupada was angry. For his sense gratification, he wasn't concerned. It wasn't an issue. We could come to America and live in a Bowery loft. Wasn't worried about gratifying his senses. But for the, when it came to Krishna's interest, then Prabhupada could become angry. I remember we were at a program one time at a major university in the northeast of America. I think it may have been Northwestern University, a major university. Big speaking engagement. Prabhupada was in a big hall, and as I remember, it was quite a big engagement. Prabhupada spoke. Then after the engagement, there was another room outside where we set up prasadam and books and so on. So people were all spilled out of the room and in that second room, and we were distributing books, distributing prasadam, talking to the people who attended the lecture and so on. And as I was talking to someone, all of a sudden this ripple went through the room. You know how a ripple goes through the room when something happens and everybody goes, ah. It's just a wave went through the room, you know. And I didn't know what had happened, but later on I found out what had happened. There was some faculty member, an Indian professor, if I remember, who was arguing with Srila Prabhupada. And everything is one, everything is one, everything is one, ultimately everything is one. And one, 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 whatever you say, everything is one. And Krishna is a manifestation of the one, and everything's one. And Prabhupada's speaking to him. Finally, Prabhupada got so angry, he grabbed him by the shirt and said, if everything is one, then why don't you wear a cotton ball instead of a shirt? Like a lion, yes. Like a lion. Sridhar Swami says that as the lion is very affectionate to its cubs and very dangerous to the other animals, Lord Nrsimhadeva is very dangerous for the demons, but he's very affectionate to a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. Yes?
I'm just wondering, sometimes when you feel angry at someone, well, you think that it is transcendental maybe, but after your anger is gone, you don't feel very good towards that person, and you feel like the relationship is spoiled or something. Does it mean that the anger was wrong?
It wasn't so transcendental after. Everyone thinks their anger is transcendental. That is to say, justified. You know, well, maybe I yelled at it, but he had it coming. He deserved it. We all think that our anger is justified. When other people get angry, it's like, what's with him? But when we get angry, it's like, well, he deserved it. But Krishna's advising in Bhagavad Gita, no, don't be overcome by anger. One has to control. It's difficult to control anger. Even more difficult than controlling lust is to control anger. Prabhupada told the history how the long story, but the demigods wanted to get a commander who would be born of Lord Shiva. They heard that this child born of Lord Shiva will be the right person to lead your forces to victory. But Lord Shiva was in meditation, so there was no question of having a child. So then what to do? They sent a young girl Parvati to agitate him. But Lord Shiva was such a master of the senses, such a powerful controller of the mind and senses, and he couldn't be agitated. Couldn't be agitated. Cupid was shooting his arrows and trying to get Lord Shiva to be agitated in the presence of this young girl. And Lord Shiva couldn't be overcome by lusty desires. But he became so angry that by his glance he burned Cupid to ashes. So the force of anger is even more powerful than the force of lust. And lust is pretty powerful. But one has to control lust, anger, greed, and so on. How is that possible? These are such powerful forces that commanders are carried away by the force of lust, by the force of anger, by the force of greed. You know, Prabhupada said it's only possible when one is engaged in the service of Krishna. Only possible when we're engaged in the service of Krishna. Then even if we're angry, if we're actually angry for Krishna, that's transcendental. Not when it's for my sense gratification and I'm a devotee and it's justified. But when the demons are against Krishna, then we can be angry. Then we can be angry. Not for our sense gratification.
Does it mean that when we control our anger, the people will not be affected by it?
Will be?
The people who we are angry at, they will not be affected by our anger. Like you won't feel bad after you have spilled your anger on them, or...
Well, if you've controlled it, then you don't spill it. Usually we become angry and then it makes things worse. The person becomes angry back at us, and then it's like, you know, now it's for the next 20 years, it's like, but if we control our anger, then it's neutralized. Kama Krodha Vimuktana, Yata Chetasam, like that. One is meant to become, so that means to become free from anger, where anger is coming from the mode of passion and mode of ignorance. One has to, can't stay in passion and ignorance and be free from anger and lust. One has to come to the transcendental platform. And how do we do that? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Remembering Lord Nishinadeva, remembering Krishna. Something else? Stop here. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Srinadeva ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Pradhanande.
You were pretty quiet. You must be a yogi.